a little something I got off the internet. The woman was old and ragged and gray and bent with the chill of the winter's day. The street was wet with the recent snow, and the woman's feet were aged and slow. She stood at the crossing and waited long, alone, uncared for, amid the throng of human beings who passed her by, nor heeded the glances of her anxious eye. Down the street with laughter and shout, glad in the freedom of school let out, came the boys like a flock of sheep, hailing the snow piled white and deep. Past the woman so old and gray, hastened the children on their way, nor offering a helping hand to her, so meek, so timid, afraid to stir, lest the carriage wheels or the horse's feet should crowd her down in the slippery street. At last came one of the merry troop, the gayest laddie of all the group. He paused beside her and whispered low, "I'll help you cross if you wish to go." Her aged hand on his strong young arm she placed. Oh, without hurt or harm, he guided the trembling feet along, proud that his own were firm and strong. Then back again to his friends he went, his young heart happy and well content. She's somebody's mother, boys, you know, for all she's aged and poor and slow. And I hope some fellow will lend a hand to help my mother, you understand, if ever she's poor and old and gray, when her own dear boy is far away. And somebody's mother bowed her head in her that night, and the prayer she said was, "God be kind to the noble boy who is somebody's son and pride and joy." I liked that when I read it, and I thought you might enjoy it as well. Again, today is Mother's Day, obviously. Only comes around once a year, and our purpose today, or one of our goals, is to honor every mother here, because you have a very hard job, mothers. And I know sometimes us guys, we may not just quite get exactly how hard your job is, but all you have to do is go away for like one day, 24 hours, and leave us home with the kids, and we are so thankful when you return. Isn't that right, guys? We realize what all it takes to be a mother when that happens. And so you have a very hard job, a very difficult job, but you also have a very noble job, one that has much reward if you do your job right. You know, mothers, I believe God wants you to be a good mother. And I believe that you can be a godly mother if you will imitate the person I want to look at today in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you will imitate the life of Hannah, we will see some different areas here of how she responded or her relationships that she had. If you will have the same sort of relationships that Hannah had, you can be a godly mother. Let's read the first 28 verses. I'll take the time to go ahead and read all of those. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of the host in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversaries also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a son, a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. And Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child hung. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I might lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And she worshipped the Lord there. You see, I think Hannah is a role model for mothers everywhere, for all time, because Hannah made sure she had a good relationship with God, first of all. You see, in verse 7, it talks about her going to the tabernacle. Year by year, she went to the house of the Lord regularly. If you want to be a good, godly mother, it all begins with your relationship with God. That's where it begins, if you're going to be a good, godly mother. And Hannah shows that she went there. You realize she went there before she had children? You know, sometimes parents, they do their own thing. They go out and have a good time, and then they have children, and then all of a sudden they say, Whoa, I've got this young child here. I've got a responsibility now. Therefore, I better start going to church. That's not when you should. You should go to church, but you shouldn't wait until then. You see, she started way prior to that. She went year after year to the tabernacle to worship the Lord with her husband, even though she didn't have any children of her own at the time. And she honored her promises to God. In verse 11, she said, "If you will give me this child, if you will give me a male child, then I will lend him to you for all the days of his life." And we find that she did that very thing, didn't she? She obeyed or honored her promises to the Lord God. And she prayed. We see in verses 10 and 15, both times, she was a woman of prayer. She was a woman who fasted in verse 7. And we read other times, like in verse 8, how she did not eat because she was burdened about something. She was fasting. And she wept before God. And she made vows to God, as we already said. And she honored those vows. Those are all signs of being a good, godly mother. You take your relationship with God seriously. You don't wait until it's too late. You start now. There's no better time than now to work on your relationship with God. And then it will be evidenced by your church attendance, your prayer life, your fasting, your weeping before the Lord, and all of these things that Hannah did. You see why I say she was a good, godly mother. Moms, you want to have your children to grow up and trust the Lord and to serve Him. They need to see in you the kind of Christianity that they want to emulate, that they want to follow. You see, you're going to be the example. Last week when we had the baby dedication, I talked about that a little bit. That baby Joseph is going to see from Dave and Kathy his primary role models of how to be a Christian. And mothers, you play a huge, important role in that for your children. One time there were four scholars who were arguing over different Bible translations. One of the Bible scholars says, "I prefer the King James because of its beauty, its eloquent old English." And another said he preferred the American Standard Version for its literalism, the way it moves readers from passage to passage with a confident feeling of accuracy from the original text. And the third scholar said, "I prefer the Moffat Version because of its quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of the phrase that captures the attention of the reader." And after giving this issue some further thought, the fourth scholar said, "You know, I have personally preferred my mother's translation of the Bible." When the other scholars, they sort of chuckled when they heard that. He said, "Yes, yes, my mother translated the Bible. You see, each page of the Bible she translated into her life." You want to be a good, godly mother? It begins with your relationship with God and how you translate this book into your life. Because your kids are going to see how you are, aren't they? They're going to see if you're living what this book says or not. If you're going to be a good, godly mother, it begins with your relationship with God, but it also includes your relationship with others. As we see here of Hannah and how she aided to her adversary, to the other wife, Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah. And how did Peninnah treat her? It wasn't very pleasant, was it? She tormented her, it says. Talking to her about how she wasn't able to have children. And that hurt her deeply. But do you see any evidence in this passage of Hannah responding in a bad way to her adversary? She, I think, again, is the epitome of a godly mother because of her relationship with God, yes, but her relationship with others, as seen in her relationship with Peninnah. You have to be careful not to become bitter if God withholds something from you. See, up until this time, God had withheld from her a child, which obviously from reading this passage she desperately wanted and desired. She could have easily become bitter. She could have easily lashed out at Peninnah, and probably a lot of us wouldn't blame her a bit, would we? But it wasn't the proper way to respond at all. She responded properly to her adversary, but she also showed respect to the man of God. Now, Eli, I don't think, was the best, most godly priest that ever lived. First of all, you can see here that he is sitting, it tells us in verse 9, in the tabernacle. They were not allowed to sit in the tabernacle. There was no place to sit, and there was no furniture to be sitting upon. That was on purpose. They were supposed to go in there and worship and serve the Lord, yet we find him sitting in the tabernacle. And as you just study his life a little more, you'll see that he's not the best priest in the whole Bible. And then look at his response to her. How long are you going to stay drunk, woman? Kind of a thing. Was he that undiscerning that he couldn't figure out that she was a woman who had a deep and serious burden on her heart? He accuses her of drunkenness. Surely it was not that closely the same. But yet, look how she responded to him in a most reverential, most respectful way. That's the kind of woman she was. That's why I say she was a good, godly mother. And look at her relationship with her husband, Elkanah. Now, ladies, we guys are dense. We guys are thick-headed. We guys just have a lot of problems when it comes to women. I mean, obviously, we don't understand women. And I see here Elkanah is probably the same way. It's probably been this way since Adam and Eve. Probably Adam had a hard time too, I guess. But look how he responds to her. She is a woman who is broken up, a woman of great sorrow, a woman who is fasting, not eating, because of this burden and this desire to have children. And how does he respond to her? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? He says to her. She could have easily said something very hateful at this time, probably. And maybe he deserved it to some degree. But I think in his own way, he was saying to you, I love you. As best he knew how. I think he's really making a reference all the way back to Jacob and Rachel and how their relationship was more important than children or not having children. He's really saying, you and I, that's what matters. More than whether or not we have a large family, a small family, or no children. That, I believe, is what he was trying to say in his best male way. You know, sometimes we guys are at a loss of what to say. You women cry, you're upset about things, and we're like, so we try to say something, and it doesn't always come out right. But I think Elkanah here was trying to comfort his wife the best way that he knew how. And look at how she responds. She tries to straighten up, tries to quit crying, she tries to eat, and tries to be as happy as possible. But she's still very burdened. You know, ladies, we have to be careful not to torpedo your husband. Not to torpedo the relationship that you have with your husband. Because you're feeling gypped. You're feeling that God hadn't given you a certain blessing. Your husbands love you. And you know what? They may be hurting just as much as you. But just not really know how to show it. About a certain loss. About not being able to have children. about whatever the situation is. So keep that in mind. Don't ruin your relationship with your mates. I see she had a wonderful relationship, as best as possible, with her adversary. She had a good relationship with the man of God, and she had a good relationship with her husband. I think there's evidence in here that she and Elkanah had good communication, because she talks with him back and forth. There's some conversation going on in here. And read it for yourself. You want to be a good godly mother? Work on your relationship with God. And then secondly, work on your relationship with others, whoever it might be, your friend or your foe, your pastor, your husband. Then you will be a good godly mother. Thirdly, you should have a good relationship with your children. You know, I don't think it was by accident she chose the name Samuel. In verse 20, it tells us that she named him Samuel, asked of God. She took the time, she took the care, she took the concern to give him a good name here. I think that's a sign of her love for this baby boy that was born to her. She personally took care of him and invested her time, her energy into this little young life, as we can see easily in verse 22, how she breastfed him. You know, it's not easy getting up at 2 or 3 or 4 or whenever in the middle of the night and do all these things. But you see, Hannah was willing to sacrifice for the sake of her children. That's what a good mother does. She willingly sacrifices for her children. What was the lady's name? Was it Susan Smith? A few years back, and how supposedly someone like carjacked a car or whatever and drove off. That was suspicious to me at the very beginning. But you know who it was more suspicious to? To Kim. How could a mother let someone drive off with their children? See, a mother willingly sacrifices for her children. And Hannah did that, didn't she? She sacrificed, obviously, her own personal needs, her own personal desire, maybe for some sleep and so forth, to breastfeed this child. And she made sure that he had his needs met. You know, verse 24 talks about giving him 3 bulls and 1 ephah of flour and a skin of wine to offer as on the sacrifice. Do you realize that is 3 times as much as normal? She was an unselfish person, a giving person, willing to give to this child because she was so grateful. She was a thankful woman. That's what she was. And she made him a new coat year after year. Another sign of her love and sacrifice for this child. You know, child rearing is hard work, and only an idiot would say it's not. It demands your time, your energy, and your sacrifice. And a good mother is willing to do all of those things for her children. You know, moms, no one can love your children the way you love your children. And no one can teach good biblical values to your children like you can. It is important that you're willing to sacrifice, to spend the necessary time with your children, even times when you may not quite feel like it. Mommy's tired. On the back of your bulletin, I put a thing along those lines where this mother hung a sign, motherhood out of order, because mommy is tired. There will be times you will feel like that, because being a good mother takes a lot of time and energy. You will be tired at times. You know, Susanna Wesley, familiar with her. I'm sure most of you are. How she had a couple of children, Charles and John especially, turned out to be famous preachers and songwriters. But, you know, she would spend 1 hour each day praying for her children. 1 hour just praying for her children. Now, she had 17 children, so it would take a while to work through that whole list, wouldn't it, to pray for 17 different children. But in addition, she took each child aside for 1 full hour apiece every week. And I didn't take the time to add that up, but what's 17 plus 7? Around 23 hours a week dedicated just to praying and talking with her children on a one-on-one basis. That's a lot of time. Now, is it any wonder that two of her sons became such famous preachers, men of God? Now, here's a couple rules that she followed in training her children. She said, number one, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his or her soul. You have to subdue the will. Number two, she said, teach the child to pray as soon as he can speak. Number three, she said, give the child nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. It's a good rule, isn't it? Number four, she said, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Number five, she said, commend and reward good behavior. Six, she said, strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. That's six good rules which will take you a long way in being a good, godly mother and ensuring you have a good relationship with your child. And she also ensured that Samuel, Hannah did, ensured Samuel had the proper religious training that he needed. In verses 24 through 28, she took him to the tabernacle. She took him to the priest, and she lent him to the Lord all the days of his life so that he would get the proper religious training. A famous evangelist, Gypsy Smith, perhaps some of you have heard of him before, but anyway, after he had an evangelistic campaign, he tells this story of a woman who got converted during one of his messages, and she wrote to him and she said, Brother Smith, I believe the Lord wants me to preach the gospel, but the trouble is I have 12 children to raise. What shall I do? She received this letter from Gypsy Smith in reply. He said, My dear lady, I am happy to hear that you have been saved and feel called to preach. But I am even more delighted to know that God has already provided you with a congregation of 12. You see, lady, that's who your number one ministry is to. Your children. It should be your top priority. That is your ministry in this life. Hannah, she willingly gave her son back to God, who gave him to her. You want to be a good godly mother? See your child as really God's merchandise, God's precious gift to you. And then it will be easy for you to give him back to God in the long run. You want to be a good godly mother? It begins with your relationship with God. It continues with your relationship with others, making those what they ought to be. And thirdly, to be a good godly mother, you must be concerned about your relationship with your child. You do those three things and you can be like Hannah and you can be a good godly mother. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am, my mother made me. Abraham Lincoln said, All I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Dwight L. Moody said, all that I have or ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. You see, moms, you play an important role in the life of the children. I hope you try to be the godly mother that I know you can be. And with God's help, you can be a good, godly mother if you will follow the example here in the book of 1 Samuel of Hannah. Study her life. And I think you will probably see more things than I was able to bring out today about her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to all of our hearts today. And Father, no doubt many of the things we've mentioned today could be equally applied to the men. Father, we all need to make our relationship with you what it ought to be. We all need to be concerned about our relationship with others. And of course, we all need to be concerned about our relationship with our children. Father, I just thank you for the example of Hannah and Elkanah in the Bible. I pray, Father, you'd help us to be more like them. In Jesus' name, amen.